I know nothing about the master strategy of war, and it would be presumptuous for me to try to guess what will happen tomorrow or the next day. And I have no idea at all as to the final outcome of this most daring of all military operations. But I do know G.I. Joe. I saw him in action in Sicily and at Salerno, and I know his reactions. I know his hopes and his fears. I know that he has been looking forward eagerly to this test, just as he once looked forward to playing in a big high school football game. Oh, he was a bit nervous about it, but he knew that once it began, his nervousness would leave. It was tough for G.I. Joe crossing the channel last night, because he knew there were enemy minefields that had to be crossed. Then, sitting there on the deck of his ship, he had nothing to do. Nothing to do but think. There was a chaplain on every large ship in the invasion armada. Chaplains learned during the Sicilian invasion, during the Salerno operation, at Anzio, that G.I. Joe doesn't want any sermons preached to him just before he goes into battle. He wants a pat on the back, and sometimes he wants to talk, to unburden himself. That's what G.I. Joe did last night. Just got to talking with the Padre. And it didn't matter much what faith the Padre belonged to. All chaplains wear the same uniforms, and there is only one guard at the front. Then the invasion fleet neared the enemy coast. Now G.I. Joe tightened up. He examined his M3 submachine gun carefully, took it apart, put it together, fingered his clips of ammunition. He kept telling himself that he wasn't afraid. Tolstoy once said in War and Peace, "Every soldier is afraid that he will be weak at the decisive moment." Tolstoy was right. G.I. Joe felt that way. Well, they got near the enemy coast. His nervousness increased. Maybe he lit a cigarette and then tossed it to the deck hurriedly when an officer called sharply, "Put that out." And then it was H hour. He was tumbling over the side into a waiting LCI. He had to steady himself because there was a slight swell, and he grinned weakly at his pals, indistinct in the thin dawn. They all felt as he did. It was like that at high school just before the kickoff. Then the boats started towards shore. There wasn't much opposition as they went toward the shore. The boat grounded a few feet from the beach, and G.I. Joe hopped out, keeping his gun high over his head, adjusting his steel helmet. The German mortars and machine gun fire opened up. He heard the bullets whistling past, and he ducked instinctively. Then he laughed sheepishly. There are no foxholes in the English Channel. He surged forward, and the cold water acted as a bracer. Then he hit land. Sappers attached to his company dashed ahead to be sure there were no mines. Now suddenly the nervousness left G.I. Joe. He looked coolly ahead, and when he saw a flash, he automatically lifted his Tommy gun and sprayed a clip of bullets toward it. Now his long training told. He did things, the right things, instinctively. He avoided booby traps and mines. He dashed from one bit of cover to another. When mortar shells began to drop close, he and his pals fanned out the way veterans do. They didn't bunch up in a tight group to be annihilated by one shell. They pressed on. After 5 hours, his officers told him to eat something. In his pocket was his cardboard box of K-rations, ham and eggs, spread, and biscuits, concentrated chocolate, and best of all, cigarettes. It was light now, and he puffed his cigarette happily. He kept on advancing all afternoon. Just before darkness blanketed France, mess orderlies came up with cans of sea rations. G.I. Joe had to eat them cold, but that was all right. He had his meat and vegetable hash right out of the can, and he took out the powdered lemon he found there, added some water from his canteen, and had a tin cup full of pretty good lemonade. He munched a piece of chocolate, and he had a smoke, and he felt pretty good. A message had come through from General Montgomery. G.I. Joe loves Monty. You know why. He loves them because Monty always wins. We Americans like winners. G.I. Joe kidded with his pals about Monty's message. It promised him that he would have a hot meal in the morning, cooked by his own field kitchens, which would land during the night. That was good news. G.I. Joe grinned and said casually to his pal next to him, "It wasn't so tough after all, was it?" This morning, G.I. Joe was just another healthy young American kid. Tonight he's a soldier, a veteran, a man who has been tested and not found wanting. He looks forward to tomorrow with confidence. So should we. We should be mighty proud of these sons of ours. They're pretty wonderful.